William Shakespeare wrote, "What a piece of work is a man, and form and moving how express and admirable, and action like an angel, and apprehension how like a god." Scan the newspaper headlines and you get a different concept of humanity, war, murder, terrorism, despotism. If mankind is in apprehension like a god, then why can't we solve our problems? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Most people have a more cynical view of humanity than Shakespeare. Human beings are capable of artistic creativity, brilliance in engineering and mathematics, and of love, the outgoing concern for others that provides life so much of its richness and meaning. At the same time, human beings are capable of hatred, destruction, prejudice, and murder. The Bible contains a startling statement in Genesis 1:27, where it says that man was made in the image of God. How are you made in the image of God? And if we are created in the image of God, why are so many people's lives filled with difficulties, broken relationships, and a feeling that God is sort of an absentee landlord in the affairs of mankind? Well, joining us today by telephone hookup from Salem, Oregon, is John Seforek, who is a pastor with a master's degree in counseling psychology. John, thanks for taking time to be with us on the program today.
You're welcome, Gary.
You know, John, the Bible states that humanity was made in the image of God. Now, obvious, human beings are finite or restricted to physical limitations, and of course, we're all terribly flawed. So how are human beings in the image of God?
Well, Gary, it's easy to look at the flaws that humanity has. However, there's another part to the picture, and that's what the Bible reveals. In the Bible, you know, God shows that he is not yet finished with human beings. He has something else in mind. He has created us with the potential. It's an astonishing, astounding potential that goes far beyond the rest of the physical creation that we see around us. We are created with the potential then to go an additional step beyond where we are right now. But we could take a look at a few of the areas to illustrate how we are created in the image of God in terms of that potential, a few of the many different potentialities that we have. First of all, we could consider consciousness and awareness. We as human beings understand that we do exist, that we are alive, but we also understand that we are finite, that we are mortal, that someday we will die. You know, this is not news to us as human beings, and yet you consider the rest of the creation, the physical creation, and we have this awareness that is unique. We also have an ability to reason. You know, we have a capacity, which is an amazing capacity, to think, to analyze, to reason through things. We can even ponder our very existence and what the purpose and meaning is for our existence, what purpose and meaning should be in our lives. We have the faculty of mind in addition to brain. We observe brain created in the animals, but we human beings are unique in that we have the mind capacity. Another factor, another potentiality, is the capacity for emotion. Psychologists and psychiatrists only begin to estimate whether there are actually hundreds or even thousands of emotions. They talk about families of emotion, but we human beings have a wealth and a depth of capacity and potential for emotions, including such things as empathy or sympathy and a love or an outgoing concern for others. We have many creative abilities as well. We have the ability to design, to construct, to build things that just sometimes defy our imagination as we look at it and wonder, well, how did the architects, how did the engineers figure all this out? We can send astronauts, obviously, out into outer space and then bring them back to Earth again. We can do so many things that are along the line of the creative abilities that God has given to us. We also have volition or human will. We can make decisions and then reinvent those decisions or sort of refine them, work with them, and purpose and plan something over a period of years or decades and bring it to pass. Perhaps a very capstone of our ability and potential involves our relational abilities. That's the capacity to develop relationships, to interact with other humans, and relationships really make our lives. Life involves or sort of revolves around relationships that we have. We have the ability for relationships with other human beings and, more importantly yet, an ability to develop a relationship with our Creator God.
But what happened? I mean, how do Christians answer the critics who rightly ask, if humanity is made in the image of a righteous and good God, how come people are so evil?
Well, that's an excellent question, and it's one that really deserves an answer. It's the rest of the story, to use a common phrase, is found in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. It tells us what happened thousands of years ago at the time of the creation of human beings, Adam and Eve, the first human couple, were given lots of potential, but they underwent a tremendous change, and as a result, this has affected humanity ever since. Human nature became corrupted and seriously flawed. The way this happened is revealed in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, especially in chapter 3, concerning the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were placed by Almighty God, and Adam and Eve chose to partake of a tree in the garden that was forbidden to them. God called it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, following their choice, the very bad, fateful choice, as it were, to partake of that wrong tree, the forbidden tree, human nature, as a result, became a mixture of good and evil. And human beings became very flawed as a result. Throughout history, we've seen many examples. It seems like history is simply replete with examples of the predomination of evil, often with results including just great devastation and destruction to humanity.
I guess all of us know that we are terribly flawed, and even those Christians who understand that they are made in the image of God know that they are very flawed images of God. And I think it's easy for many people to even view religion as an emotional fix that avoids having to face our original purpose as image bearers of God, and how really marred we have become. You know, in this context, what is the purpose of biblical Christianity?
Well, the purpose of biblical Christianity is much more than simply professing the name of Jesus Christ, or even the noble goal of changing one's behavior. Sin, as revealed in the Bible and defined by the Bible, is much more than simply behavior. Sin is something that permeates every aspect of our nature and threatens to destroy God's original purpose for us. Our purpose, then, that God has in mind as bearers of His image, of the image of God. Biblical Christianity involves then choosing to reject the marring, sinful poles of this human nature that we wrestle with, and choosing to allow the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to transform or to change us by instilling a new nature within us. Now, this is an exciting concept that unfortunately we don't hear much about today, and yet it's right there in the Bible and what God reveals in terms of the potential He has in mind for mankind. In the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in chapter 12, verse 2, God says through the Apostle Paul, "Do not be conformed to this world," that means fashioned or affected and changed by the influence, the effects of the world around us. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That word for transformed, is from the Greek for the New Testament, is the same word as far as the root that we use in, you know, our English word metamorphosis, that talks about a tremendous change that takes place. We have examples like the final stage in a butterfly's life, and in the three or four different steps that it goes through before it emerges as a beautiful, gorgeous butterfly. This would be like an analogy that we could use of a physical thing to understand better the spiritual transformation that the Apostle Paul was describing in this passage. So we certainly do, as human beings, have a great potential. We have been created in terms of that potential and what God has in mind in the very image of God. The great challenge for us is to desire to become like God in nature and in character, to make the right choice.
You know, John, we just scratched the surface, so we want to thank you for being on the program today, but you will come back sometime.
I certainly will, and I've enjoyed it very much. Thanks a lot, Gary.
How can you begin to discover God's original purpose for your life? Don't go away, because we'll be back to explore this question right after these messages.
No question is more far-reaching than this. Does God exist? If there is no God, life has no purpose. There's no future beyond the grave. But if there is a creator, that changes everything. Can we know for sure? Request this free booklet to discover the truth. It's titled, Life's Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome to Good News Radio, where we've been discussing how human beings are made in the image of the Creator and why we're so flawed. Human reasoning and emotional processes are complex. Because human beings are created in the image of God, at times we have very noble motivations. Human beings are capable of self-sacrifice and giving towards others. Yet, all human beings are marred images of God and possess hearts and minds that are a mixture of good and evil. Dr. Larry Crabb, in his remarkable book, Understanding People, points out some of the core motivations possessed by all human beings. One, we are relationship beings created to have meaningful interaction with God and other human beings. At the deepest inner core of our being, all of us experience an empty hunger for a relationship with God. Secondly, we will do almost anything to exert independent self-determination. This drives us to protect self at all costs. This means that at the very core of our being, every human is by nature hostile towards God and towards his solutions to our problems. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans 8:7. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one and follow along. Paul says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." And a third motivation is that we will do almost anything to avoid emotional pain and experience good feelings. This need of itself isn't evil, but coupled with our independent selfishness, this intense need can motivate human beings towards abusing others in order to protect self. Now, it doesn't take much reasoning to comprehend that these three motivations are in conflict with each other. We have a longing for God, yet we want independence from him. We want him to solve the problems in our lives, but we are immediately hostile towards his solutions. We need close relationships with others, but meaningful relationships involve vulnerability that opens ourselves to emotional pain. The solution to alcoholism, marriage problems, anxiety, non-organic depression, addiction to pornography, unresolved anger are all in the instruction book, the Bible. But we resist God's instructions because we will do almost anything to maintain independent rulership over our own lives and avoid pain. The reality is that any real positive change involves effort and pain. So we temporarily relieve our unfilled hunger for God and emotional pain with drugs or an affair or sexual fantasies or gambling or sometimes by burning ourselves out doing good deeds or by working hard at being religious. But in the end, we still hunger for God while still being motivated by our desire for self-rule. Jesus Christ makes an extraordinary pronouncement in John 6:35, where he claims to be the bread of life. He goes on to say, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." How can this become a reality in your life? We have a guest here in the studio who will discuss that very point right after this.
No question is more far-reaching than this. Does God exist? If there is no God, life has no purpose. There's no future beyond the grave. But if there is a creator, that changes everything. Can we know for sure? Request this free booklet to discover the truth. It's titled, Life's Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're joined in the studio today by minister, teacher, and counselor Gary Ante. And Gary, you know, it's been a while since you've been on the program, and thanks for being with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me back on the program. It's a pleasure to work with you.
You know, politicians tell us that they have all the answers to the human condition, yet no one ever seems to come up with permanent solutions. Why is it that we can't solve our major problems?
It seems like human beings like to look to themselves as a solution. They try to rely on their own strength. They try to rely on their own wisdom to resolve their problems or difficulties. We don't tend to allow God to come into the picture until it's too late for anything to be done. Jeremiah mentioned in his prophecy that the way of man is not known by man, and it takes God to have to help him through. But man does not generally recognize that until it's almost too late.
You know, that leads us to something else we've been talking about in the program today. Every human being has, and we don't like to admit this, but we have a need or a hunger for a relationship with the Creator. Where do we start? What must a person do to start dealing with that? Because that's the only place we're going to get solutions.
Well, most individuals think that they can just automatically find a solution in God, but it takes God to initiate the call. And we mean by a calling that when that person comes in contact with the truth of God, with the message of God, with the gospel, with God's word, and he begins to respond to that message. When he hears the message, he must respond. He must respond through faith and belief. He must believe that that message is true because it can be proven from the Word of God. He must prove to himself that God exists. He must believe in that God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And then once he begins to see that, then he can begin to see himself in relationship to his God, his creator. As David said in the Psalms that, you know, what is man that you're mindful of him? When he saw how the greatness of God by comparison to what man is, when he saw how much God could do and had done. Job, in his book of Job, writes about his trials with himself, with his friends, and how he had to come to recognize God. In fact, he even said in his book, "Now I see God. Now I see you. I had heard about you from others, but now I see you." Job came to understand God, but once God made that initial contact.
You know, this is good, and of course there's people out there that are listening and saying, well, that sounds very religious, and that's fine, but their initial reaction is like all of ours. We have a hostility towards God. So we know that we have to respond, but we have this latent hostility. So how do we deal with that if we're going to have a meaningful relationship with God?
Well, and it is absolutely true that human beings do have a hostility, a natural one, that comes over years of living in a world that's been against God, living among individuals who try to drag them down and tempt them and pull them aside. On the other hand, God's Holy Spirit is so powerful, the Holy Spirit of God working with an individual will lead him or her to be willing to change from one's natural enmity. In fact, Romans 2:4 talks about the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And once we are led to see ourselves, then we need to seek God and his ways through prayer. Isaiah wrote that, "Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found." And so as you seek God, then he can be found. And God's Spirit will lead us there despite the fact that as a natural consequence, we tend to resist authority. And, of course, the ultimate authority is God.
Now, okay, we're seeking God, but you're talking about then coming into a relationship where really our nature has to be changed, because if we're sort of by nature rebellious against God, by nature hostile, how does a person's nature, how can that be changed?
Well, God usually brings us into circumstances that we can see ourselves, that we begin to see that we need help. Usually it's circumstances and situations beyond ourselves where we may see the need for help, beyond what we can do of our own volition, troubles, losses, illnesses. When those occur in our lives, we then may be able to respond to God through repentance, because we begin to ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? What's going on? Why are all these situations occurring so negatively in my life? And it may promote a desire to seek help from beyond, and that help comes from God. We may choose to repent of what we've been doing that leads us into those wrong situations and circumstances, the negative activities. And the acknowledgement that we can't do it by ourselves can produce a willingness to change our attitude and our actions. God's mercy is abundant to the person who's willing to acknowledge his shortcomings and desire to change his ways. Certainly the scriptures are full of hope in this. Confess your sins and God is willing to forgive them.
So what you're really saying is that God will actually use bad times, negative things in our lives to better us or to bring him to him?
Absolutely. Often we don't look at ourselves in good times. In good times, we just take them and ride along. But when there's some type of a difficulty that occurs in our lives, some type of a trouble, some type of a loss, then we begin to reflect on what's wrong. That's been the message in the Bible. It's a message in the prophets, the minor prophets, the major prophets, that Israel should learn from whatever examples, that whatever circumstances that have come into their lives, that to produce a repentance, to produce a change in their lives. And when that occurs, a person is willing to say, you know what, I can't solve this myself. I need help.
Does God cause those problems? I know we don't have too much time.
No, God does not directly cause the problems. He may allow the problems. God will never tempt any man, but he allows them so that we may come along and be involved in our lives and helping us to seek him.
I wish we had more time. You have to come back.
Well, I'll try to do that.
How can the hunger each of us have, that empty need at the core of our being, be filled? First, you must become acutely aware of your hunger and thirst for God. Most of us spend our lives trying to fill that void with careers, with money, with other things. Secondly, you must face the ugly hostility that we each have for God and his solutions to life's problems. Nothing can be solved until we are willing to say to our Creator, I don't know how this life works. You do. This hunger for a relationship with our Creator can be filled. Which leads us to the question we always ask at the end of Good News Radio. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, as always, is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
No question is more far-reaching than this. Does God exist? If there is no God, life has no purpose. There's no future beyond the grave. But if there is a creator, that changes everything. Can we know for sure? Request this free booklet to discover the truth. It's titled, Life's Ultimate Question, Does God Exist? Call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.